on this edition of WBOI's Field Notes. It's football state finals weekend. Victoria Jacobson drops by to walk us through what we can expect from our schools in the tournament. I'll close with notes on the Comets, the holiday football schedule, and more. That's all next on Field Notes. Thank you for joining us this week. I'm Zach Bernard. Victoria Jacobson from the Journal-Gazette is with us to get started as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
Football state finals are this weekend at Lucas Oil Stadium, Friday and Saturday to be specific. And we have two local schools angling for a title. Let's get started with Friday's game. Bishop Lures will kick off against Cascade at 3. What can we expect there?
Yes, so last week, Bishop Lures was kind of in the national spotlight a little bit because Miles McLaughlin, the quarterback from Knox High School, their opponent in the semi-state, was on pace to break the all-time national rushing record, which is currently held by Derrick Henry. This Knox quarterback had been averaging well over 300 rushing yards per game, somewhere in like the 360 range. So he needed 365 to tie the record. Bishop Lures held him to 78. This is something that nobody had done all season, but the Knights are not like any other teams they had played all season. Hold them to 78 yards. Bishop Lures comes away with a 35-0 win. They are headed to the state finals for the 19th time, which is a record, in case you're wondering. No other school in Indiana has been to the state finals that many times. What's really interesting, though, is that the Cascade team that they're going to be playing is in its first ever state finals. But they might have an even more impressive offense than this record-breaking one over at Knox, because that was kind of a one-man band situation. Cascade is not a one-man band. They are averaging 54.6 points a game. That's ranked second in the state. They have four different guys who can really run the ball. They're averaging over 289 rushing yards a game. And their quarterback has completed over 70% of his passes for 32 touchdowns and not a single interception all year. So this is a team that is regularly scoring over 50 points a game. They have a 77-0 win on their record this year. They have a 98-13 record win on their record this year. So this is quite the offense that Bishop Lures is going to have to try to shut down on Friday.
Then on Saturday, we'll see Bishop Dwenger take on Roncalli. That's also at 3. How are we feeling about that?
So there's one thing that everybody returns to. When I say returns to, that's for a reason. These teams played each other in week one, and Roncalli won 3-0. So that is everybody's big question is, are we going to score more than 3 points this time? And I do think that's very possible. As Bishop Dwenger coach Jason Garrett said, the defenses were a little bit ahead of the offenses at that point in the season, which is pretty common in general. I think very, very apparent in the result from that game. But I think after the semi-state win over South Bend St. Joe's on Friday, a lot of the Dwenger coaching staff were saying, hey, you know, after that season opener against Roncalli, we looked at each other and we said, we're going to see this team again. We think that these are the two best teams in 4A, and we think that we're going to have another crack at each other. It was decided by the one field goal, so it was a really tightly fought game. It suggests that anything is possible given how much both of these offenses have progressed over the season. Yeah, it'll still probably be a defensive matchup. These teams have been shutting teams down throughout the regular season, throughout the postseason. We've talked a lot about the Bishop Dwenger defense and how they just rolled through a really tough sectional and really shut down everybody there. So I expect lower scoring, hopefully not as low scoring as the last Saints trip to the state finals back in 2018. If we have anybody who remembers that one, it was nothing heading into overtime. It took until quadruple overtime for Bishop Dwenger to pull out a win in that one, in what remains the longest ever IHSAA state finals. Bishop Dwenger did get the better of that one and beat Evansville Central 16-10, which again sounds higher scoring than it was because it was quadruple overtime.
And the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame class was announced. It looks like one of my favorite players growing up, and a Warsaw grad, is going to be enshrined.
Yes, so there are 18 new members of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, or I should say male members of the Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame. They announced the women's class separately, will be inducted in 2026, so next March. One of the bigger name players from this class is Warsaw graduate Rick Fox. For those of you, again, who remember, he scored 824 points and 498 rebounds in just 50 games with the Tigers. He only got to play two seasons, what would be the equivalent of the sophomore and junior seasons, because he did play what the IHSAA decided was the equivalent of high school basketball in the Bahamas before he and his family moved to Indiana. So he was not allowed to play varsity basketball his senior year, but he did still practice with the team. And even though he didn't get to play his senior year, he was still voted to join the 1987 senior all-star team. And he still got some of those senior accolades and some went to some of the all-star games that were held back in those days. Went on to star at UNC, reached the Final Four his senior season, and then was a first-round pick for the Boston Celtics, and then had a long career with the Celtics and then the Lakers in their heyday. So he is one of the people who will be inducted into this Hall of Fame. He's already a member of the Canadian Basketball Hall of Fame. There are a number of coaches who are going to be inducted as well. Marty Johnson, who's the current head of the Indiana Basketball Coaches Association. He was a longtime coach at East Noble. The late Dick Barr had stops at Kendallville and Huntington Catholic among his six stops at Indiana schools. Jerry Baumholt of Columbia City and Cliff Hawkins, who coached DeKalb. They're all going in for their various contributions.
Victoria Jacobson is covering the whole range of local sports for the Fort Wayne Journal-Gazette. Thank you, as always, for being here.
Thanks so much for having me.
The Comets are staying red hot after picking up two wins in their first three home games of the year last weekend. They are 10-4-0 on the season and will bounce around over the next few games. Tonight they'll celebrate Thanksgiving on the Coliseum ice against Kalamazoo. Faceoff is set for 7. Then they're headed south to take on the Indy Fuel tomorrow, also at 7. They'll be off Saturday and return home Sunday to host Toledo at 5. Three big NFL games are on the calendar for the holiday. My Packers will take on the Lions in the traditional Thanksgiving game in Detroit. Kickoff for that is a bit later this year at 1. Following that, the Chiefs will face the Cowboys in Dallas. That's at 4:30. And the big night game will be between the Bengals and Ravens. Kickoff from Baltimore is at 8:20. We also have a Black Friday game between the Bears and Eagles in Philadelphia. That one starts at 3. Also on Friday, number 2 IU plays its last game of the regular season in West Lafayette against Purdue. That's in primetime on NBC at 7:30. If you're a Bears fan and an IU fan, this has potential to be a very exciting day. Number 9 Notre Dame will also play its final regular season game out west against Stanford, and it's a late one. Kickoff from California on Saturday nights will be at 10:30. The NBA does not play on Thanksgiving, but that's okay. It's always been the Black Friday sport to me. The Pacers are still struggling. Sadly, they couldn't take their Stranger Things-themed night against the Pistons earlier this week, dropping that one 122-117. They might get a break on Friday. It's an in-season tournament game on the road against the Washington Wizards, a team that has never won an in-season tournament game. They're 0-10. So hopefully the Pacers can exploit that. They'll host the Cavaliers next Monday and the Nuggets Wednesday. That's all for Field Notes this week. I've got a Packers game to watch. Field Notes comes out every Thursday, even on the holidays. We'll see you next week. I'm Zach Bernard.
Music for Field Notes is produced by Jack Ankenbrook. You can support this podcast anytime at wboi.org/donate. You and I are listening to WBOI.